Well, this morning we come to the final mask in our series. We have a few more things to say about masks the next couple of weeks, but this is the last Sunday we're talking about a specific mask. And as we have done with each of the other sermons, this morning we ask a critical question. What does it mean to wear the mask of detachment? Well, as is our usual practice, let's turn to the scriptures this morning. And we turn for understanding and for help as we think about our important topic for this morning. Our text for today is Luke chapter 12, verses 1 through 7. You're invited to follow along in your Bible or in the order of worship today as we listen to God's word for us. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark, it will be heard in the daylight. What you have whispered in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed from the roofs. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has the authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word this morning. Well, there is so much we could say about our passage for today. In just these few verses, Jesus just fills it with important teachings. He describes this sin of hypocrisy, what some have called the forbidden sin. He talks about that nothing in life is truly hidden. In other words, what you say or what you do that you think no one else knows, not true. Everything, he says, will be disclosed. What happens in the dark will be revealed in the light. Everything you whisper in the quiet to someone's ear, it will be shouted from rooftops. Don't fool yourself. God knows what you think and what you say and what you do. Each of those teachings is worthy of a sermon, if not multiple sermons. But today our focus is to connect this passage, these verses, with this idea of wearing the mask of detachment. So what is this mask? And what does Jesus want to teach us this morning? Well, just before we dive into this discussion, just for a moment, I want you to put a picture in your mind, an image in your mind. I want to ask you to hold this image in your mind for a few moments. The image is of five sparrows, five little birds, like Jesus talks about in our text for today. Picture in your mind just five little birds. You could hold them all in your hands. What are they worth? What is their value? Do their lives matter? Do they matter to this vast universe that Jessica and the children were talking about? Do they matter to God? What value would you place on the lives and the existence of these five little birds. 2 pennies. That's what our text says. Is that what they're worth? Whatever value you place on them, here's what I wonder. Do those little birds know that they are valuable? Do those little birds have any idea that they have value? Do they know that God cares for them? How do these birds live? Do they live every day in fear and anxiety and worry? What is their attitude toward life? How do they view the life they live? See, maybe we need to ask those questions of ourselves this morning. One of the main themes in Jesus' words today, one of the main themes in this teaching is, how do we view this life we've been given? How do we live life every day? What kind of attitude do we take into every day of our lives? How should we view our lives? See, what Jesus seems to say is, as he looks at people, what he notices is so many people live their lives in fear. Fear, he says, is this overriding emotion that just encapsulates the lives of so many people. And the reality is, our fear, those things that cause us to worry, those things that cause us to be afraid and concerned, those things often encourage us to detach, to pull back from life. You see, people wear the mask of detachment. We pull back from living. We avoid plunging into life and living it the way God wants us to live. We detach often because we are afraid. We live so much of our lives out of fear. So here are some important questions. Do you ever feel like you're watching your life just kind of go by without really being in it, without being part of it? Do you ever feel this world is uncertain? Almost some days it seems unreal. Do you ever sometimes feel just empty, apathetic, without emotion, not connected to the events or the people that are around you? Do you ever find yourself avoiding other people? Do you ever find yourself preoccupied when someone's trying to talk with you? Do you find yourself sometimes struggling to know exactly how you're feeling, finding it difficult to put words around your emotions and your experiences? Do you find yourself sometimes disconnected from life? Maybe this morning, maybe we just need to be honest. Maybe we just need to pause for a few moments. Maybe we just need to be honest about what has happened to us and to our world over the past 18 or 19 months since COVID-19 has invaded our lives. See, this mask of detachment, well, it has become magnified since March of 2020. For many people, daily life still looks nothing like it did just a little over a year and a half ago. Routines and patterns, these are ways that we keep track of information. They are ways that we understand time. So to be thrown into this situation where everything seems different, well, it is disorienting, to say the least. Some people have said that the last year and a half feels like we've been living through a time warp. Days just kind of blend together. Some months seem to fly by while others feel never ending. We have spent months stuck in the present moment because how do you plan for tomorrow or next week or the next month when we have no idea what's going to be happening? So many people have confessed in recent months to a sense of detachment, to feeling disconnected or detached from themselves and from their surroundings. See, this is a common part of life, and we do it all the time. The word for it is dissociation. And we do it in mild ways, and we do it in severe ways. Mild dissociation is when you find yourself daydreaming, or it's when you find yourself just kind of zoning out a little bit. Maybe an example is if you're on social media, just kind of scrolling through, and all of a sudden you realize 2 or 3 hours have gone by, right? You just zone out. You are lost in thought and feelings and experiences. That's the mild version, but the more severe version, the more serious version, well, it's when you feel like you're observing yourself and your life from outside. It's when the world just kind of feels unreal to us and unsettled. Often we detach because we're trying to avoid unpleasant or negative thoughts and emotions and feelings. We put on the mask of detachment so that we can disconnect from the world around us, and temporarily at least, it relieves some fear and anxiety. In 2020 and 2021, Mental Health America's online screening program saw a massive increase in the number of people who feel the need to take anxiety and depression screens or tests. And the number of people who take these screenings or these tests and score with moderate to severe symptoms of anxiety and fear is much, much higher than it was prior to COVID. High stress and anxiety trigger this desire for us to detach from the world. And guess what? Loneliness and isolation, those things only make the matter worse. Detaching from this life, well, it looks and feels a little different for everybody. Today, reality seems pretty unreal for all of us at times, but the world can look kind of distorted to us. It can appear foggy. It can seem two-dimensional. Colors can seem muted. Some people say it feels like there's been this glass wall or divider between us and other people. Some have said, I almost feel like everybody's a robot, even though I know they're not. It just feels like we're responding to life this way. It's almost like you see yourself watching your life as if it is a movie, or you're on autopilot with little control over what you say or do or feel. For some people, it's hard to imagine or to remember happiness prior to COVID. It's not clinical depression, really, but it's more like an absence of emotion. It's more like a void. It's like it's difficult to remember what happiness felt like before this pandemic. It's sort of like being invited to watch a comedy movie after you've recently had a heartbreak. You just can't connect. Some people find that things they used to enjoy, they just don't seem as enjoyable now. Some people find that they have less energy, less will to spend time with friends or to do things and activities that they used to love. All of these things and more are the characteristics of someone who wears the mask of detachment. As I've described this mask, maybe someone comes to mind for you. You may be thinking of someone in your community. You may be thinking of someone here at church who you know and care about. You may think of someone in a club or an organization that you are a part of. Maybe it's even an extended family member, someone you are concerned about. Or maybe it's someone much closer to you. Maybe your best friend. Maybe your son or daughter, maybe a parent, maybe a spouse, or maybe it's you. Maybe you've been feeling some of these things. Maybe you've been pushing them down, try to cover them up, or just confused by exactly what it is you're feeling. But as we talk through this, you recognize some of these points in your life. Please know, wearing this mask is not uncommon, even in normal times. But it is certainly not uncommon in 2020 and 2021. Many, many people, millions of people, find themselves feeling out of sorts, disconnected today. People wear this mask of detachment. They pull back from living. We avoid plunging into life, as we said before, often because we are afraid. And living with this kind of fear, living with this anxiety, this uncertainty, well, it's damaging mentally and emotionally and in our relationships. But let's be clear, it is also damaging to our spiritual lives. Dr. Wayne Oates writes that the most significant spiritual issue for someone wearing the mask of detachment is a growing sense of worthlessness, a persistent discounting of oneself, of one's value, of one's worth. When we detach as a means of coping, here's what happens. Our world responds to us in ways that just simply magnify our sense and feelings of worthlessness. We get pushed aside by an aggressive world that has no place for detachment. It is as one woman told her counselor, "I am not much good. I am not very good at anything. I wouldn't get anywhere. It's really no use. I'm just not much good." Well, that experience is not a new phenomenon. People in the Bible have felt the same way. Many of the people who surrounded Jesus as he talked felt exactly that way. And that's why Jesus says what he says in our passage for today. But even before Jesus said it, other people in the Bible talked about it. David, the psalmist, wrote about this very issue. You heard it from Jessica and the children. You heard the choir sing about it. You heard it in the reading earlier that Robert read for us. Remember what the psalmist says in Psalm 8. The psalmist writes, "God, when I consider the heavens, the works of your fingers, the moons, the stars, all that you've set in place, when I think about these things, when I look at them, what is mankind?" Really, here's it. What am I? Who am I that you, God, are mindful of me? But You have made human beings, you have made me just a little lower than the angels and crowned me with glory and honor. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. The psalmist reminds us, God's view of us is so different from our view of ourselves. Jesus' perspective on these five little birds, it is so different than the value that the world puts on those five little creatures. God does not see us as we see ourselves. Does God ever say to you, "You are unlovable"? Does God ever teach us that you are really not good? Does God ever say there's really no use at all for you? Does God cast you aside because you feel disconnected or detached from other people or the events of the world around us? No, Jesus says very clearly, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of love. You are worthy of God's care and God's grace. Your worth, listen to this, does not come from the things you've done or the mistakes you've made. Your worth does not come from what others say about you or even how you feel about yourself when you look at yourself in the mirror. That's not where your value comes from. Your value does not come from your accomplishments or your popularity. Your identity is not found in what you do. None of those things determine your value and your worth. You are worthy because the hands of God knit you together. At the beginning of time, God created human beings, all of us, in God's perfect image. God designed you to be this beautiful masterpiece. And even though we mess up at times, and even though we're consumed with shame and sadness and guilt, and even though we live many moments in our lives with anxiety and fear, God loves us so much that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on a cross to give us life. And if that weren't even enough, God promises us that nothing in all of this vast universe can separate us from God's love. That fact, the truthfulness of that reality, that gives us the ability to live without fear, without anxiety, without the crippling impacts of feeling the need to be detached, even in this crazy, upside-down, topsy-turvy world in which we live. Jesus tells us we can live this way. Jesus says it's possible. Some have described His approach to life as an attitude of fearlessness. William Barclay, the great New Testament scholar, says, you know, as I read this verse, this passage, there are really two reasons why Jesus says we can live life without anxiety and fear and worries and concerns. Number one is the power anybody has over you is strictly limited to this life. Yes, one person can destroy another person's life, but not their soul. This world, Jesus says, has very little ultimate power over you. But the second reason is God's care is the most detailed care and love that anybody could ever imagine. The God we know, the God who loves us, says we are never lost in the crowd. We are never unforgettable. Think about this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 reminds us of Jesus' words. In Matthew, here's what He said. Are not two sparrows sold for one farthing? Luke says it this way. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? Think about that. In other words, if you were prepared to spend two farthings to get four birds, well, guess what? We'll throw in another. You'll get five. Why? Because they are of such little value. But not to God. The life of every little bird matters to God. And guess what? You matter too. In fact, you matter so much, Jesus says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. In Jesus' day, it was said that God was so involved in the care of this world that every blade of grass had its own guardian angel. None of us, Jesus says, needs to fear what this life can do to us. For God cares for us. Will we still experience fears and worries and concerns? Yes. But His point is this. You don't have to live there. You don't have to stay there. That does not have to consume your life. Why? Because you are so valuable that God cares for you that much more. In the Sermon on the Mount, after talking about God's care for the little birds, Jesus said, are you not that much more valuable than the birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Jesus says this morning, you are afraid of the wrong things. You are worried and concerned about things that ultimately have no value. The only thing that you should fear is God. And not by being afraid and scared, but respect, love, and obedience. The reality is the way God wants us to live, the way God plans for us to live, it's always better than how we find ourselves living. We find true life when we fear, respect, love, and obey God, not the things of this world. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 reads, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Fearing God, loving, respecting, obeying God, that is real living. St. Francis of Assisi wrote a poem. The poem was called, "God Would Kneel Down." Listen to his words. "I think God might be a little prejudiced. For once God asked me to join him on a walk through this world. And we gazed into every heart on this earth. And I noticed God lingered a bit longer before any face that was weeping and before any eyes that were laughing. And sometimes when we passed a soul in worship, God would kneel down. I have come to learn God adores creation." And God adores little birds. And God adores you. You are so loved by God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we confess this morning that this is a difficult world. We worry, we fear, we struggle, we are concerned, but God, we know we are valuable and worthy to you, and you love us. Bless us as we seek to trust you with all of our lives. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.